piano playing? All the way around, just good. It's just been good to be in the house of God and to be able to serve the Lord in spirit and truth. Take your Bible. Let me get this on. How about that? Is that working now? Is that no? Not enough yet. I may have turned it off or something. How about this? How about that? Is that good? Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Isaiah. Turn in Isaiah chapter number 56. Isaiah chapter number 56. It's an old familiar passage that we use every now and again. And certainly we ought to realize and know that the Word of the Lord has many applications that it wants to give to us. But look in your Bible, if you will, the book of Isaiah. If you're able to stand, stand while we look there in this chapter, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, and that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder, and we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. And we thank you, Lord, for being who you are and for loving us in spite of who we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Our text verse tonight was going to be in verse number 10. The Bible said his watchmen are blind and they are all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. And they all look to their own way and every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, and I'll fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as today and much more abundant. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson here, you're going to find that it was a sad state of the preachers in the day and hour of Isaiah and Israel and the warning that God gave. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, across the country, it's not that we have a shortage of preachers. We got a bunch of them. They're deader than 10 o'clock most of the time. And what they have to say absolutely would knock the fuzz off a gander's snout. If it was poison, it wouldn't hurt anybody. If it was medicine, it wouldn't help anybody. And we live in a world that's just exactly like that. I got to say to you, it's not what the modern preacher's saying. It's what he won't say is where the danger comes in. I guarantee you when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, I want to preach a sermon. I told you a while back that I was going to. And the first time that I ever preached it, I put it in paper and in print and sent it out. October 31st, 1983. That's on Kim's birthday. I don't know why. Maybe we was trying to get her straightened out. How were you? How old was you in 83? When was you born? 71, 81, B10, and then plus 12 years later. So now I wouldn't have been, I'd been for you then back then. I want to say to you, I'm preaching on camp compromise and cash meeting. Now, I'm not against anybody and everybody, and every now and again you ought to get out somewhere and go to a good old-fashioned Bible camp meeting, but you better be careful that you don't swallow it up hook, line, and sinker. You know, I've known preachers, they go and listen to one preacher, and then they go to trying to mimic him. They hear another preacher, and they go to trying to mimic him. Then it ain't long until finally you see that everybody has got to be able to line up. Now, I'll tell you something. This Bible said that you and I that are saved by the grace of God, that are in the ministry, that we are not to lord over God's heritage, but we're to be an example unto the flock. And that we're to lead and guide and direct them in the ways of the Lord and so forth and on. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, you'll find out that back whenever I was along here, you'd go to a meeting and sometime, boy, they'd be filled up. I told you the other day, the way you get the shout on, if there's anybody there that's popular, somebody even just says anything, you go ahead and get it going and it's like a wave running across the building. Now, they don't like it when I point those things out. But it doesn't make any difference. I'm glad that I've learned better, and I'm glad that I know better, and that I've not swallowed everything up. I remember we was at a meeting one time, and over there at Mac Ford's, and this is back before I ever knew half the things about Mac Ford. If only a fourth of what's been said about him before he died is true, he's in hell tonight, and that's a good place for him. If it's not true, then God bless him for being accused, but make no mistake about it, dear friend. And obviously his wife didn't want to back him up. His wife wanted to accuse him as well. That's not good for you. I said all that to say this. One of them camp meetings, you know, and one of those trying to raise money for the Bethany Home for Girls. And boy, here comes Jack Wood down the aisle. He's got a handful of a satchel in each hand full of money. They bring $11,000 down there to donate to them. During that meeting, there's a lot of fun going on. There was some preaching that was pretty good. But I said all that to say this, is that there was somebody decided they had to leave, and they had to go, and they got down the road somewhere, and they broke down. I had to call somebody from the meeting to come get them. And here's what happened then. Some bulldog preacher full of horse hockey got up and said, "You better be careful about trying to leave this meeting. God's done shut down some people." He's lying. God didn't shut down them people. You see that, what I'm talking about? Everybody go to getting scared. One thing I've noticed about most of them people that were back then, the Lord told me to say it. The Lord told me this. God told me that. God might want to tell you to shut up and quit lying. The only way God's going to talk to you and I tonight is through the blessed word of the Lord. He may let something hit your mind come from the Bible that you ought to exercise, but as far as you having a corner on truth and God telling you something that ain't in the book, let God be true and every man a liar. In this Bible lesson, you begin to find out, and some of my best friends in days gone by use that God told me this and God told me that a whole lot. And finally, when you begin to look into this, we're living in a world somehow or another to where that ignorance is sweeping the land. The average Baptist church, I guarantee you right now, just is dumber than a sack full of rocks. Not everybody, but for the most part. I said all that to be able to say this. We're living in a time when this ignorance is sweeping the country. And let me tell you something. The majority of preachers have gone from building the mind, that takes study, to buses and methods, that takes socializing. They're not interested in you having your mind built. Listen, if you paid attention for the last year, you know more Bible than the average Baptist preacher that's been in the ministry for 25 years. If you didn't pay any attention, you're probably no better than you was way back then. Let me say to you that if you will, over in the book of Ezekiel, God reprimanded him. And he said, you know what's happening to you that are leading? You take with force and cruelty. And as a result of it, my people have become, as it were, a prey for pay. And that's what they're looking for. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, the first thing that we ought to see, we live in a world of shepherds that are sightless. And let me tell you, sin doesn't look nearly so bad once you go to getting a few buddies that are involved in it. I remember, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that way back then, you know, the Bible said they'd preach a whole lot on the preacher and his qualifications, this and that, and we ought to. We're not knocking that. And all that business there. But in the day and hour we're living in, they're no longer preaching that if a man desires the office of a bishop, he's to be the husband of one wife. They're not no longer preaching that. What they're preaching now is trying to justify some woman they've endorsed. I remember when I did an article entitled Beth Moore and Religious Whores. Remember that? Oh, there was a lot of Baptist brethren wives got mad at me. And by the way, fellas, if you want to keep the brethren happy, you're going to have to keep their wives happy. You're going to have to be nice and sweet and sugar for them. And if you're not, they can't have anything to do with you if they want to wake up and see straight the next morning. In this lesson that we're looking at, I can remember that, oh, there was a bunch of mad women got mad at me across the country. And you know, after that, she left the Southern Baptist Convention, thank God, and got over with Roman Catholicism and a branch of that. Not one of those jaybirds ever called and said, you hit it right, preacher. You knew exactly what you were talking about. They're not going to. It doesn't make any difference. I knew I was right whenever I was doing it, and I didn't need any recognition for it. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say that we've got that now among independent Baptist preachers that are trying to justify their missionary or that person or this person. And I was at a place one time, and they had a woman had a dog, and she couldn't talk and this and that. And I enjoyed the dog better than I did her. What I'd wondered was why we were wasting our time having to look at and listen to that.
later on down the road, this man, this dear brother here, he got up and walked out on such a mess as that. God bless you. That's exactly what you should have done. I felt like a compromiser for being hooked in. I couldn't get out either side and all that business there. By the way, I've got a dog that's a lot better looking and a lot better acting than that woman. If some of you women like to get in the ministry, I'll give her to you, and she's free of charge. But don't expect me to put my endorsement upon it. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, we live in a world that somehow or another has begun to overlook sin. You know, the Bible said things ought to be conducted in an orderly fashion in the Bible. In fact, as the Bible said, that God left Timothy and God left Paul and these men to go and set things in order at some of these churches, and that there ought to be some things out to do order. There ought to be some godliness. There'd be some orderliness. There's not to be a whole bunch of chaos and this and that. Women were to keep silent in the church and not to be preachers and all that business there. That's way back when. Now, kids can run wild like Comanches, and as they run up and down the road and run down the aisles, and they're, I got to tell you, the women can't speak in the church, but the kids can run chaotic. God bless you. Thank you very much. In this day we're living in, you're going to find out is that here's some things that you ought to be able to look at. Is that you're going to find that in the day and hour is that these men, first of all, number one, you're going to see it down the road. There's selfishness involved. Did you notice that in our text? He said these are like greedy dogs which have never any more decision. They can't have enough. They've got to get more and more and more. These are greedy dogs that never have enough. And not only that, but you're going to find out is that their decision making now is for more members. And they want more members because it means more money. And that's a wrong motive for wanting to be able to help somebody. I've literally had preachers in days gone by. Some of them are dead and gone and all that business there. But their whole idea for getting another member and finessing them in was for their money. God's interested in your soul and the welfare of your children and for them being born again and washed by the blood. Any child of God that's right with God, if you're a real Christian, you know to tithe. You already know to give to missions and you already know all of that. But that's not our main motive for being able to get you in. Our motive is to be able to help you and to help your family, to be able to know the mind of God and the will of God. And let me say to you that a dog, reason why they ought to bark, ours don't anymore, we feed them too much, but the reason why they ought to bark is to let you know something strange going on outside. But these are dumb dogs, the preachers, and they don't even bark. All the danger's coming in on the congregation, and they don't say a word about it. Not a rough, or here they are, robbery on the scene, nothing, you know, whatsoever. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that what they're looking for is some way or another to be able to gain more revenue. Now, let me tell you, most camp meetings I've ever been to, and it took me a while to ever see it, they were really just cash meetings. And I think they were some good men, sometimes caught up in bad things. But they used communistic, and they didn't know it. They're so dumb, they don't even know what kind of a system they're using. But they were using communistic methods of getting cash in converts. Now pay close attention. If you didn't get anything else, you're going to want to get a hold of this. Here's the way they do it, and here's what they do. There's five symptoms that follow. Number one, they want to cause anxiety in those that are there. They must make them anxious about what, quote unquote, God is doing. And you know, the Bible said be anxious for nothing. Boy, if you can get enough people to get excited, that's the reason why that at these kids' youth camps, if you can get one kid down the aisle to make a profession, 25 more will follow. Yes, nobody ever thinks nothing about that. They're so glad that these kids make a profession, even though there is a real old faith, and as a result, even though they don't have an idea what they've done. Oh, A.W. Tozer said, you know what the average person in the day we live in that professes to know God? It's like they've got a brand new set of tools, and they don't have a clue what to build with it. They don't know what to use it for. And I'm going to tell you, that's the truth of the matter, and that's the way that it is. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, number one is that they want to cause a lot of anxiety about what God is doing. Number two is they want to induce guilt. And everyone ought to give as much as they ought to give. Let me tell you right now, when they induce guilt and make you feel guilty, here's what it ends up doing. I mean, how could you be so wicked to not want to give? to such a great worthy cause. That's kind of what they're putting out to you. And when they induce that guilt, it ain't long until they keep hammering that, till you feel like you're the guilty party. Once you feel like you're the guilty party, make no mistake about it, is that the next thing they want to do is destroy the judgment of others. That's when they start telling you, quote unquote, God told me this and God told me that. And God told me someone here ought to give their car. I've heard that. Someone here ought to give their home. Someone here ought to give their savings. Someone here, God wants you. You can't let God speak to you. They're trying to tell you what, et cetera, et cetera. You'd better listen to God, they'll say. Well, if you do, you'll get up and leave that jackass hee-hawing there in the pulpit. God bless you. Thank you very much. Now, I realize the Uptown Baptist Church is not going to say that, but I'm going to say it, and God knew I would, and God knew you'd listen to it, and you'd realize to know it. Here's another thing, is that number four, they use repetition. This is a tactic they finally persuade some, you know, the Lord must be trying to talk to me, or else they wouldn't be repeating this. It must be for me that I've got you wore down, see? They're finally getting you down to the place where the rubber meets the road, and you don't know to turn right or left, get in the bar ditch, or back on the highway. Not only that, but then number five, they use exhaustion. What do you think that exhaustion is used? That's the reason why they want to break you down in any resistance that you might have. That's why they've got long services in the night, long services in the day. That's the reason why they got long time offerings that last for hours, and finally a man will give the last cent that he's got just hoping they'll shut up and he can go home broke. That's true. You watch that down the road. I didn't just get this overnight. I went to many a meeting, friend, and say, pay close attention to what was going on. In that Bible lesson there, you're going to find out is that there's people, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in. I was trying to remember what the name over there in Myrtle, Mississippi. The guy's dead now, never was married, but anyhow, he had a camp meeting. I went to that one there. That's what I was telling you about. They got to where they were bringing their guitars down the aisle, and they was going to leave them for something that somebody could redeem so they could get the money. Do you realize, in the Bible, when something got redeemed, you couldn't never put it up again? But see, they do. Here we got people, got stuff they're going to get redeemed by the Lord. Somebody buys it. Somebody else makes a buck and sells it on another thing. Real spiritual, is it not? I said all that to be able to tell you this, is that they want to finally break down all the resistance that you ever mustered up and thought to have. Here's what I've noticed. Is that person right there that just got through promising money that he could not afford to give, or she could not afford to give. That old woman came down there, she had a quilt she had made. Boy, it was nice looking too. She said, I ain't got any money, but I want it. And they laid it down there, on the Lord's table. I want that right there. And it wasn't long until finally come on old gal woman got up that was older than her and came walking down and said, I tell you, preacher, God's burdened my heart to redeem that quilt. And so he picked it up and she grabbed the other end. I ain't got any money, but I want you to know, even though I hadn't paid for what I promised last year, I want to go ahead and get this quilt. And he went to having a tug of war with the quilt. I wish I'd have had a camera that I could have took videos back then. I'm going to tell you, I've seen some stuff. It's pure old dung's what it is. Crapola, for you that don't know what dung is. I know we'll forget whenever this article hit the newsstand among all them preachers. Sunday was some of them wouldn't talk to me for a long time. Some of them dead and gone now, and I don't care. Right is right if everybody else doesn't like it or not. Right's always going to be right. I was thinking about is that if you'll finally give in, you can call it faith giving, but really it becomes foolish guessing, foolish giving. Trying to buy your way in favor with whoever it was that's impressed you the most. I got to tell you something. Finally, innocent members will fall into manipulation. They're now manipulated. Well, I mean, my word, if you're going to do it, if you've got to give all the money you're going to give and not go to hell, I'm not going to hell by myself with money in my pocket. See, that's what manipulation is. Intimidation. I don't know if you've noticed it or not down through the years. I'm not really easily intimidated. Do you notice that? And the reason being, because I've got a Bible in my hand, the Holy Ghost of God living in my heart, that's able to lead and guide and direct me into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. Excuse me. I want to say to you that, if you will, that in the day and hour that we're living in, I've got a good friend of mine, and he used to go across the country, and he was preaching. And here's what he was preaching. He was preaching after some old fella by the name, and let me get it right, I can't remember his name, Lawson or something like that, and he wrote a book, a little tract about giving, about faith, promise, giving. He would preach along there and say, you hadn't got to give what you've got. You've got to give beyond what you've got. So that's an act of faith. But that ain't what the Bible teaches. Here's what the Bible teaches. Over in 2 Corinthians, the Bible said in chapter number 8, about verse number 12, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not that he hath not. You can give by faith, by acting upon the word of the Lord. You don't just pull a number out of the sky. Go to promising, this is what I'm going to do for God. I want to tell you, do you realize, though, that people will tell you that God is going to give you back that and a lot more on top of that? Well, he might do that, and he might not do that. Do you know there's a passage over there in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 28 and about verse number 22 that he that hasteneth to be rich has an evil eye? You ought not to do for God, in obedience to God, what you feel like that God is going to bless you back with and give you a whole lot bigger in return than what you gave him. Now, God may do that, and he certainly can, but that's not the motive for giving. Our motive for giving ought to be based on the word of the Lord, not because we've been brainwashed and not because that we've listened to some Baptist pope somewhere, but because that we believe what God had to say, and as a result of that, we are able to give not what we don't have, but out of what we do have, and God blesses us richly for having been obedient unto him. Let me close that, if you will, please, is that this whole crowd that we're talking about is that in the day and hour we're living in, back then there was a lot of preachers that were trying to build a building on bonds. And they'd buy some bonds, and they'd sell some bonds, and this and that. And they had money in their pocket. And they were like me, most of them so poor they couldn't even pay attention. So naturally, when they got a little bit of jingle in their pocket, they went crazy. They got to thinking, well, we may not need all of that for whatever we've raised it for. So they used a little of it for themselves or something else. Hey, do you know that that's a penitentiary offense? If you take bond money and use it for something other than it was given for, do you realize that's a crime? And many of them went to prison over that very thing. Somebody said, oh my, I'd have been better off. I'd never touched a dollar. Yeah, you at least be honest about if you're going to raise money for what you're raising it for. I want to say to you that in the day and hour that we're living in, is that the bottom line for you and I is not money. That ought not to be the reason being. But that's behind a lot of these meetings that are going on. I can't tell you how many of them that I've sat and listened for hours while the offering was going on, and they just needed a little bit more money, or they just needed a little bit like that. Somebody's not planning things right if you're needing to sucker somebody. If I were to ask you tonight, how many of you would like to have an extra $10,000, and you raise your hand? All right, God bless you, sir. You're going to give that next year. Yeah. I got news for you. I wasn't even making $9,000 a year back then. You think I can give $10,000? Well, if you trust God for it. No, I'm going to have to trust you for it, but I'm not an idiot that you're speaking to. See? I want to say in closing, I'll be done. If you don't give as unto the Lord, it's not going to be long, and you're going to be grumpy, and you're going to be soured, and you can't believe that Baptist preachers would take advantage of you like that. That's how it's going to be. Can you imagine while the preacher's piled up in the bed in your used-to-be house or driving your used-to-be car, you've got a piece of junk. You know, I used to give not only tithe and mission, still do it. Still do. I believe it's right to tithe and give a mission offering above your tithe. But I used to go and listen to some of them guys that were browbeating us over the head when we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And their kids' shoes and clothes looked a lot better than my kids did. You know the reason? I didn't have the heart to appeal to those people and take advantage of them. That I knew in good time, in God's timing, He'd take care of me. And He'd done exactly that. He's done exactly that. And all that been is there. I had on a pair of Cayman boots this morning. You see these boots right here? They're not real expensive. Them this morning was $800 or $900. You know where I got them? A church member gave them to me. These right here is about $400. You know where I got them? God gave them to me. You understand me? Now, I've got a pair of tennis shoes. You know where I got them? Walmart. I want to say in close, and I'll be done. When the church over there in Macedonia, remember then the Apostle Paul, he was going around soliciting money. And here's what the church at Macedonia, when he heard the poverty of others, that church that was poverty-stricken in Macedonia, they not only gave to the power, they gave beyond their power. In other words, what God was saying, they gave more than they really could afford to give. Now, you know what the average Baptist does? Wads that up, sticks it in the money sack, and takes off down the road before you have time to be able to stop and analyze what has happened to you. Paul the Apostle didn't do that. Here's what he said. He did not want to take their money because they were so poor, the people they were helping were better off than they are. And they begged him and said, oh, no, we want part of this ministry. Made sure they was following what God had burned in their heart, and so he did take it. I want to tell you right now, is it'd be a whole lot different world that we were living in if you and I would recognize and know that he is God, and besides him, there is none else. Over in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23, don't turn there, but you're going to find out, the Bible said, be diligent to know thy state, which means the employ, the front and the back, the inside and out and upside down. He said of the flocks, and look well to thy herds. Do you realize to know that it's my job to protect you from heresy? It's my job from letting somebody just come by and blindly take advantage of you. See, I got to tell you something. I'm not everything I ought to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. And I can tell you something else that I've known down through the years. Let God be true, and every man a liar. I met a lot of folks up and down the road. I exposed a preacher that was one of my favorite preachers for chasing a 15-year-old Negro girl. All the brethren did this. Most of them have had this man in their pulpit. If he were alive, and he's not, he's dead and in hell now. But if he was alive when he got through preaching, you'd be in awe at how great a message that he's preached and put out there. That's just how good it was. I got to tell you something, make no mistake about it, is that God knew all the time. I had him booked for a meeting to come here. I just didn't feel good about it. God just wouldn't leave me alone about it. Something didn't feel right about it. I called him up and canceled it. Didn't find all this other mess out till after that. See that? I got to tell you right now, yes, I'm looking for God to lead and guide and direct and protect the flock of God here at our church. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. We thank you for these that have gathered here tonight. Lord, you know every need we have. And we thank you that thou, God, beside thee, there is none else. Thank you for these that are visiting. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for these that we've got on the list that are sick and others that now that need something from the hand and heart of God. I pray your blessings now upon these as they get ready to depart from here this evening.